Today, the topic of my talk is conquering your inner enemy. We have two types of enemies. One is external enemy, another one is internal enemy. Who are our external enemies? Those who hurt us physically, verbally, are our external enemies. And who are our inner enemies? Our own kilesas, our own defilements, our own kilesas, like our anger, greed, delusion, jealousy, covetousness, wrong view, flaw and torture, our pride, conceit. All these are our inner enemies. External enemies, we always pay our attention to our external enemies and neglect to care for our inner enemies. Our external enemies only harm us physically and verbally. But if you don't have inner enemies, no external enemies can harm you mentally. Since we can't avoid to contact with external enemies, why not retrain ourselves to conquer our inner enemies so that the external enemies cannot harm us mentally? So the path of the teaching, of the Buddha is to conquer your own inner enemies, not the external enemies. And the external enemies only harm us very shortly, short period of time. Or they say they kill us in this lifetime. But our inner enemy, the great hatred, delusion, jealousy, wrong view, conceit, not only harm us in this lifetime, but throughout the endless cycle of birth and death. So long you do not eradicate your inner enemies, that you are going again in this repeated cycle of birth and death. So we must understand, the inner enemies bring us greater harm rather than external enemies. Okay. Then this internal enemies, we have three, we call kilesa. We have three stages of kilesa. Number one is called latent defilements, or dormant, sleeping defilements. Number two is called arising, or obsessive defilements. And number three is called transgressing defilements. The latent defilements, so long you are not attained any path inclusion, magapala, or so long you are still putujana, you have this latent kilesa. And this latent kilesa only will arise up to the mental level when there is condition for it to arise. For example, now you are listening to my Dhamma talk. You don't have anger now at this moment. Am I right? Can you say that you have no anger all the time? You can't say that. Only when the conditions for your anger to arise then it arises. So this is called latent. Latent in your mental stream. Why it does not come up to the surface? Because the conditions for it to arise is not fulfilled yet. Okay, so it's called latent kilesa. Number two is called obsessive or arising kilesa. Obsessive kilesa. The latent refinement which has met with all conditions to arise now come up to the surface. That's why it's called arising kilesa. Up to the mental level. And let's say anger has arisen up to the mental level, we call arising kilesa. And if you cannot aware of it, and if you cannot control it by two ways, one is by replace it with loving kindness, or you contemplate it as impermanent and see it arising and passing away. So if you can't do all these two to overcome this arising anger, then what will happen? You are bound to utter half speech. Now you are bound to act accordingly. Then your body will perform verbal karma and physical karma. And once karma performed, it leaves behind karmic energy. And this karmic energy will follow you throughout the round of rebirth. Until the last day you enter into parinibbana. That karmic energy will come to exhaustion, extinguish. So only one karma you perform, this karma will follow you throughout the round of rebirth. So don't be deterred. Whatever evil things we have performed through our physical and verbal, don't think lightly of it. So when this transgression kilesa, you can't deal well with this transgression, this arising kilesa, then it transforms into transgression kilesa, or very gross kilesa, through your verbal and through your physical. So we have three levels of kilesa. Number one is called latent, anusaya kilesa. Number two is called obsessive or arising kilesa, arising at a mental level. Number three is called transgression. You have break your precepts. You have break your morality. Then you perform verbal karma and physical karma. This is called transgression kilesa. And to overcome, and I have already mentioned, all these kilesa not only harm us, also harm the other party, harm both parties. So it's very important for us who are walking the path of purity to avoid, to overcome these three types of kilesa when they arise. So how to overcome? How to overcome these three types of kilesa? Let us start with the gross one, the arising or transgressing kilesa. Transgressing kilesa only involves physical action and body, physical action and verbal action. And verbal action we have four: half speech, frivolous talk, backbiting or slandering, and the last one, telling lies. And physical, and how to overcome it? By moral restraint or by observing the precepts. When you observe not telling lies, you should include the other three. When you're observing, not telling lie, musawada viramani sikha padang samadhi yami. So including no half speech, no frivolous talk, and no slandering. Not only telling lie only. So you observe your morality in order to overcome this transgressing kilesa verbally, verbal through your through verbal action. And the physical action, we have another four: panatipata, killing; adena, dana, stealing; taking anything which is not belong to you. Then number third, kamisu nisacara, sexual misconduct. And number fourth, taking intoxicants, drinking. Of course, drinking alcohol itself has not so much evil in it. But after taking the alcohol, the mind becomes intoxicated. You lose the clarity of the mind. Then you are bound to commit other precepts. You are bound to break other precepts because you are no more normal. Your mind already lose clarity. So that's why it's one of the also heavy, including in one of the five precepts. So by observing these five precepts, you can overcome this arising kilesa. Okay, now we come to second you are bound to overcome this transgressing kilesa. Now we come to the second level, arising or obsessive kilesa. Up to the mental level. So we have many. Number one, let's say greed. Greed or lust. This lust or loba can occur to the inanimate things or animate things. Animate things like person beings. For example, the man has lustful thought for the woman. The woman has lustful thought for the man. So when a lustful thought arises in your mind, how should you get rid of this lustful thought? If you cannot get rid of the lustful thought, for example, when your eye comes to contact with very beautiful, charming woman, then immediately the lustful thought arises in you. It's very fast, because we have not trained our mind yet. So the kilesa arises very fast. So the moment the eye comes in contact with agreeable, beautiful, visible object, let's say charming woman, so for men, there arises lustful thought. How to overcome your lustful thought? I should ask the men to answer. How?
Close your eyes.
Okay, not bad. What else? No last food talk until now. Never have last food talk. Keep them as your family member. Is it? Can you overcome that? When you think of that, can you overcome the last thought? I want you to tell your own practical experience. Don't give me back the super knowledge. I will give you even more. How you overcome that? How to contemplate?
Look at the
beautiful object. Analyze it. Okay, how to analyze? Difficult. It means that you have not overcome your last thought yet. Because until now, you don't have the ways to overcome it. Okay. I think you are very good in your Dhamma knowledge. You should know in our meditation subject, there are two ways to overcome the lustful thought. One is to contemplate 32 parts of the body. Kotasa. 32 kotasa. Our body is composed of 32 parts. Hip hair, body hair, nail, teeth, skin, flesh, kidney, bone marrow, kidney, heart, liver, membrane, spleen, lung, intestine, undigested food, feces, brain, then bowel, then pus, blood, sweat, fat, tears, our tears, grease, saliva, snot, and the last one, urine. So if you contemplate in such a way, you take the opposite object and contemplate one by one, pay attention to the impurity of the 32 parts. You don't see his beautiful or her beautiful body. You just analyze one by one, from the hip hair, body hair, up to the urine. When your attention reaches the urine, her urine or his urine, your last two thoughts disappear together with the urine. Then this is the way how you can contemplate 32 parts. Okay. And another way is that skeleton meditation. Taking the skeleton meditation, but you have to practice it before. If not, you don't know how to contemplate. Your mind may say contemplate, but you look at it. Never a skeleton never appear. Only the beautiful object appear because you have not yet trained before. So advanced training is necessary in order to face when the difficulty arises. Okay. So you pay attention to the skeleton meditation. You practice maybe every day 10 minutes at home. Skeleton. Then when the perception becomes strong, you close your eyes. Then the skeleton appear very clearly in front of you. So then if you keep on meditating, then whatever you see is just skeleton. One of my friends, he practices this skeleton. So whenever he sees the beautiful woman, then he quickly applies this skeleton meditation, and he's able to overcome his last two thoughts whenever he meets this beautiful woman. So there's two ways. Because the story I have told many times, I don't want to speak now. I don't want to repeat. Later on, any question later on we will discuss. So these two ways is to overcome your last two thoughts when it arises meeting with the opposite sex. Okay. Especially for men. Men has more last two thoughts than women. Sorry to say that. Okay. So then how about the thought, the grief arise when towards inanimate things, the things which has no life, inanimate things, the attachment, the strong attachment arise towards the inanimate things. For example, your property, your house, your BMW, and your some other things which you attach to. So when this attachment arises, how should you overcome your attachment to it? Or you just let the attachment grow? Because you're never mine, it's my property. No, I can attach to it, no problem. If you let your attachment grow in such a way, then during our dying moment, that attachment will come very, very strong because you cannot depart from it. And during our dying moment, our mind becomes so weak. We don't want to depart everything we hold dear. So if during our dying moment we attach to certain things, even a small rope, a piece of jaw, also can bring us to the four woeful state. So if now we are still alive, our mind is still strong, even then we cannot overcome our attachment to our own property. Do you think we can overcome it during our dying moment? Sounds impossible. That's why it's important to train the mind now. You check yourself. This property I attach to. If you attach to it, then you contemplate. The best way to contemplate to overcome your attachment to the property or inanimate things is through contemplation of impermanency of all the inanimate things. Nothing lasts. No? All our property also subject to change. They have, for example, you know, there are five enemies that can take away our property. You know, the government, you know, the flood, the fire, the earthquake, all the disasters also can take away in just within 1 hour. You know, come to rain. So if you contemplate in this way, then you have less attachment to the property you have. So contemplate, at all the time, contemplate impermanency of all the things that surrounded you. Then you will have more and more detachment. When there's detachment, there is happiness. Because there's no bondage in your mind. Your mind is free from everything, free from every single attachment. Then you find a lot of attachment in your mental state. You find a lot of happiness in your mental state. Okay, so these are two ways to overcome your greed when it arises. Next one, next feeling is anger. When anger arises in you, how can you overcome your anger? For example, the anger towards another person. How to overcome your anger? Compassion. Compassion is to overcome cruelty. Anger is loving kindness. You pay attention to the opposite state of the pilesa. For example, the opposite state of anger is what? Loving kindness. Metta. Metta. But say it's very easy. Okay, now you got so much angry towards this Mr. A. Then you sit down. May Mr. A be well and happy. May Mr. A be well and happy. Do you think you can overcome your anger? You may end up your meditation wanting to give him a blow. So, still it's easy. When you come to actual practice, if you have no master of your mind, no, it's not easy. You can try yourself. Okay, if it doesn't work anyway, you've got to try, train, even though it's not easy. Of course, it's not easy. That's why we come here to train our mind, to make our mind strong, you know. Anyway, you take, first you don't directly take heat as object. You send to yourself first, may my anger disappear, may I cool down, may my anger disappear, anger is not I, only cause and effect, you know. Then, gradually, only you take him as an object. Then you may he be free from all suffering, but if you still feel anger arise in you, then, no, it means that this doesn't work for you at this moment. Because your metta is not so powerful yet, so it doesn't work for you. Then change to other method. You think of the danger of the anger itself. If metta doesn't work, you change another method. You think the danger of the anger itself. Buddha say, anger is our greatest enemy. So if I get angry, if I suppose I die now, I get so much angry and my heart cannot take it. My heart pumps so fast, you know, whole body shaking. And if I die now, I'm going to become hell being. I'm going to hell's realm, or I'm going to become better, hungry good. One of my friends, a Western nun, in her past life, she was Devi, Deva, heavenly being. And she fell in love with one Devi. But after some time, this Devi went after another more powerful Deva. And she got so much angry, the anger obsessed his mind. At that moment, his life faculty was cut off, and he fell from the Deva to Petarim, become hungry ghost. Only one anger. Because Deva's body is very subtle. Our body is very gross. Deva's body is very subtle, and the anger is too gross. The body cannot take the anger. So immediately, his life faculty is cut off, then he drops into hungry ghost realm. So you think of that, the anger, the danger of the anger is what? If I die now, I'm going to reborn in a all woeful state. So if you remember in such a way, then your anger may appear. And if not, then what to do? Even you reflect, the anger, the adventure of anger. Then you try to think another simile. Let's say that there's a fireball. You feel so mad with that person. You want to hit him. So you take the fireball, want to hit him. Hope that fireball can burn him. But before the fireball burns him, your hand gets burned first. Whether you can hit the man, whether the fireball can hit the man or not, not sure. But certainly your hand gets burned by holding this fireball. Then you scold yourself. Why am I so foolish? Why am I so stupid? Why am I so foolish? No. Then there's a way you teach yourself to overcome your anger. If you don't overcome your anger, you are bound to react. You are bound to react verbally and physically. Then you perform a lot of akusala karma. That's very bad for you and bad for the other party. So no matter how hard, you have to overcome your anger through many different ways. Another way is also not successful because your anger is so great. Then you change an object. Then entertain the anger. If you can have a good friend, go and talk with a good friend. By talking, you forget the anger. Or you read book, open the tips, open the Dharma talk. You have to try one of the way out to overcome your anger. Then the Buddha said, in the Dhammapada, the wrongly, what an enemy can harm an enemy is not so serious. The wrong directed mind can harm you even greater. The wrong directed mind, the anger is called wrong directed mind. Because of wrong directed mind, you want to kill another person, you want to harm another person. That thought, that wrong directed mind harm you even greater. That you have to, we have to bear in mind. That's why I say inner enemies is more harmful, not the external enemies. Okay. So this is the way how you overcome your anger. And I hope you can practice loving kindness more often. To me, I feel that loving kindness is so useful for me to overcome my anger. The moment, as a human being, whether you are monk, a nun, Buddha, Sariputta, Mongolana or not, as long as you are alive in this world, we have to meet with a lot of our vipaka, a lot of vipaka which we have, the action we have performed in our previous life, in this life we have to meet and encounter a lot of resultant vipaka. So people will abuse you, you know, harass you. Then what to do? So when I come with such, I meet with such situation, I will just sit down. The moment all this abusive word, you know, harassing word come to my ear, if I don't have the mindfulness, I get irritated. A very short one. Then after I come to my realization, then I quickly sit down and send my loving kindness. May this person free from all suffering. May this person be well and happy. And it works so wonderfully. Within 5 minutes, 10 minutes, the anger disappears completely. Not only that, as you keep on reducing your loving kindness, because the happiness keep on increasing, you know, loving kindness gives you a lot of happiness. So when I reducing loving kindness to my enemy, I not treat him as enemy, but he treat me as enemy. So when I send reduce this loving kindness to him, then I feel a lot of happiness arise in my mind. So I'm here enjoying my happiness while reducing loving kindness. And I can see his suffering. While he's trying to abuse me, attack me, I can feel his suffering out of anger. In order to abuse somebody, to harass somebody, you must have the anger. Only then you can utter harsh or abusive word. So I think I'm now enjoying my happiness, sending loving kindness to him, and he is suffering from his own anger. So when I reflect in such a way, I have a lot of loving kindness and compassion. So I change my loving kindness meditation towards the compassion. So I arouse my compassion for him. May he be free from suffering. May he free from his torturing in mind. May he free from his bad vipaka. May he free from his bad vipaka. So from loving kindness, move to the compassion. It's a wonderful experience. So I would like to encourage you also, practice loving kindness at home first. Then gradually, when you gain the strength of the mind, then you are able to withstand with what difficulties arise in the world. Okay, this is the second kirasa, number third. Fear and worry. Fear and worry, we Asian, I don't know, I think we have less. Maybe a Westerner has more fear and worry, another kirasa. I myself have no antidote to overcome fear and worry because I am a person who has very less fear and worry. I'm a nun, you know, nothing to worry. But lay person, you know, through my association with so many lay person, I start to understand they have so many worries and fears which I couldn't understand. Since I don't have that, so I don't have special antidote. But I can tell you certain things, share with you certain things. Fear and worry is something you are. We fear of something, we worry of something which has not yet happened. We worry this, worry that, you know. Worry your son cannot get a good job, cannot pass exam. You worry this, worry that, which is not yet happened. Why should we worry things which has not yet happened? But if it really happened, if it really happened, then face it. Try a way to solve it. That's all. If you cannot solve it, let it be. It's very easy. But we keep on thinking, you know, thinking things which has not happened and keep ourselves and make ourselves terrible. Make ourselves depressed. It's called unnecessary thinking. To me, it's called unnecessary thinking. I remember I had one devotee. One day she came to me. She said that her husband has just passed away 2 weeks ago, and she has 3 sons. And her husband's family business is there. It's a family business. So before her husband passed away, her husband didn't write a will. So she has so much worry that, you know, she cannot get the property, get the business, a share of the business. She was so worried about that. Then she asked me what to do. I said that, why are you worried so much? You know, maybe the family will kiss you, you know. Now because your husband just passed away, they are so sad, they don't have time to think about this thing, you know. Then why you worry so much? Then I told her, what belongs to you will belong to you. What does not belong to you will never belong to you. Don't worry. If this property belongs to you, it will always belong to you. If it does not belong to you, it will never belong to you. To me, it's very easy, but to her, it's not easy. She said, I think she can understand, but she cannot take it. She cannot take it. Then she said that she has asked so many people about this question. I'm the only one to give an answer. And she said that you are the first person I met who has no worries. And after that, she went back, cried for 2 hours. I don't know why she cried. So sometimes, you know, take things easy, you know. When it comes, now we do not know whether, I think finally the family give her the share, you know, give her the share. So previously she worry for nothing. She worry for things which has not happened. And she make herself upset, depressed, crying. But for, you know, then her family really don't give her anything, then she can start fight for it. But now, you know, thing has not yet come to conclusion. She starts to worry this, worry that, fear of this, fear of that, which makes herself upset, depressed for so many weeks. So when you have fears and worry, just think of yourself. Now this not yet happened. No? It may come out different from what I think. Maybe the result is different from what I worry. And also don't think it first. When the result really comes, then try a way to solve it. If you cannot solve it, then believe your karma. I don't have the karma to get it. That's all. Is it easy or not? Try your best, huh? Okay. I always believe my karma. I'm a homeless person, you know. I don't have home, I don't have a monastery. I don't know what will happen to me tomorrow. If the place where I stay now, if the owners ask me to leave, then I got to leave. You know? So I'm homeless. But I don't want to worry about this. I believe in my karma. My karma will send me, hey, my karma send me, then I go. I follow my karma, that's all. So I'm happier than you. Okay, so this is the way how to overcome fear and worry. Then the next one, what else kilesa that upset your mind? Jealousy. If jealousy arises in your mind, you pay opposite attention, pay opposite mental state. What opposite mental state of jealousy? Mudita. Appreciative joy. You should appreciate other people's achievement. Jealousy because other people, their achievement better than you. you know, then you should arouse your appreciative joy rather than jealousy. You just sadhu, 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 then you accumulate a lot of merit. Just share three words sadhu, sadhu to your achievement, then you accumulate a lot of merit without paying even 1 cent. It's very easy to accumulate that type of merit. So whatever, whenever you see people do some good deeds, you just appreciate. Sharing her achievement, if you rejoice, you share her merit. So it's very wonderful. So this is the way how to overcome your appreciative, your jealousy. Okay. Next one, kilesa, wrong view. Identity view, sakkaya ditthi. When this wrong view arises, then please, the antidote to overcome it is to investigate cause and effect. The wrong view of self, or wrong view of many things, wrong view of karma, and so on, when it arises in your mind, please investigate. The antidote to overcome it is through investigation. Investigation of cause and effect. If you investigate the cause and effect, then the wrong view of self will disappear. Okay. So these are few ways of overcoming the mental defilement. We call arising defilement. Now we come to the last one, the latent defilement. The latent defilement is to be eradicated through past and present knowledge, magga phala. That is very difficult. Latent defilement is very difficult to eradicate unless you attain Magapala, Sotapanna Magapala, Sagadagami Magapala, Anagami Magapala, and Arahan Magapala. So if Maga eradicate certain defilements, for example, Sotapanna eradicate Sakaya Diti, Silapata, Paramasa, and Vichipicha. So if Maga eradicate certain defilements. And to reach this magapala, you have to practice vipassana. Before reaching this magapala, you have to practice vipassana. What is vipassana? Vipassana is to see things as they really are. What are the things as they really are? The four noble truths. Four noble truths. What's the noble truth of suffering? The five aggregates of clinging. Five aggregates of clinging is the noble truth of suffering, and this noble truth, dukkha satya, must be fully known, fully understood. Only then you will let go of it. So these five aggregates, not only internal, our own five aggregates, also external. We also have to contemplate external five aggregates. Why? Because we are not only attached to our own five aggregates, we also attached to our husband's five aggregates, our son's five aggregates, our daughter's five aggregates, our teacher's five aggregates, our friend's five aggregates. So in order to completely cut off all the attachment, you have to contemplate these five aggregates internally as well as externally. Internally, externally, externally, internally, until you fully understood these five aggregates are the truth of suffering. Why they are the truth of suffering? Because these five aggregates are keep on changing. They are impermanent. Your body, four elements are impermanent. Your feelings also impermanent. Our perception, what we previously perceived now change. For example, the divorced wife and husband. They married because they think the thing, the opposite one is very lovely. The loving couple. They think their boyfriend, girlfriend are very lovely. So they come to agreement, why not we marry? So previously they persist. They are very lovely. After 1 year, oh no, my perception is wrong. What I previously perceived is completely different from now. We better divorce. So the perception also changed. That's the one changing. So then our formation, our anger, our greed is also changing all the time. Your enemy turn up to be your good friend. And your good friend turn up to be your enemy who hurts you even more than your enemy. Your good friend hurts you even more than your enemy. So all are changing, you know. Consciousness also changing. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness. All keep on changing because the causes keep on changing, the effect also changing. So when you come to understand, you know, all these five aggregates are keep on changing. The external five aggregates also changing. Your husband's five aggregates, they do not love you like before marriage. Before marriage, he loves you very much. After marriage, no. Changing. So the five aggregates, their aggregate also changing. Our aggregate also changing. So you can see everything is subject to change, everything is arising and passing away, then you know. Not worth grasping. Not worth grasping. What is changing is suffering. Buddha says, what is anicca is dukkha. So what is changing is suffering. Not worth grasping suffering. So then gradually you let go of it. When you can let go of it, then you will finally reach the path, Sotapanna Magaphala. Then from that, you keep on contemplating anicca, dukkha, anatta of all formations or five aggregates. Then when the insight knowledge reach maturity, you reach Sagadagami Magaphala. Then the method is the same. To attain Sotapanna, you contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta of the five aggregates, internal and external. To reach Sagadagami, same. Contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta of internal aggregate and external aggregate. Then you reach Sagadagami, Anagami, and Arahant. When you reach Arahant Magaphala, all your kilesa are completely uprooted. Then you have no more internal enemies. If you have no more internal enemies, then the external enemy cannot harm you at all. They only harm you physically. The harm you physically is also because of our past vipaka, our past karma that produced this harm. Not the person harm you. Not the person harm you. It's our own vipaka. We pay for our own vipaka. If you pay attention, oh, this person harm me, this person harm me, then your anger will never cease because you still see a person, a being. But if you contemplate what he harm me is only my vipaka. This person only a tool. Nothing to do with this person. It's my own vipaka. I pay for my own vipaka. Then you have no anger towards this person. This is called Yoniso Manasikara, wise attention. So after you reach Arahant Magaphala, you have no internal enemies, then you will live in peace. You will live in happiness. Because in this world, none can bother you. And you are always draw in the peace of the mind, and this is called eternal happiness. Okay, so this is the end of my talk. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, there are two questions here. Dear sister, in breath meditation, which I try to practice at home, What specific things should I be following? I don't know this person has listened to my talk or not. I think from yesterday until today, I have given very detailed and precise talk what to be avoid, what to be pay attention to. No? Okay, I will give some extra information. In breath meditation, which I try to practice at home, what specific things should I be following? Just the breath, just the breath, using counting method. If your mind is restless, using counting method. And you must choose a proper time to meditate. Don't choose a time when you are tired. For example, after work, your mind is so tired, don't meditate at that time. The best time is when the mind is fresh, no burden, and no and not very active. Because when the mind is so active, you cannot concentrate on the breath. So the best time is when you feel there's no burden in the mind is quiet, not active. Morning, early in the morning is the best. Because you have rested for a day, then your mind is not very alert yet. This is the right time to practice breath meditation. Other thing, I think I have speak many times in my talk already. So what are you going to do with the talk? Will you put online?
Yes, online.
Oh, so this person, the person who asked questions should go online and check. Okay, the last question. Okay, the last question. After a few minutes, the breath becomes calm. I don't feel the breath, but feel the movement in the belly area. Is it okay to change the point to touch to the belly where I feel the movement? It depends on you. If you want to practice anapanasati, you shouldn't change to the belly. Anapanasati is not in the belly, it's under the nose too. But if you want to practice four elements meditation, you can go to the belly. The movement of the belly is wind element. So if you go to the belly, then you concentrate on wind element. Then you are no more practicing anapana. But if you want to practice anapana, you neglect, ignore the movement in the belly, go back to the breath under the nose tree. Okay. So important, you must know the technique. If you don't know the technique and without a teacher, and you waste a lot of time. You don't know whether it's right or wrong, a lot of confusion. So if you are not sure how to practice this daily, then don't do it. Go back to the breath. At least you get instruction from the website how to do it. But if you know how to handle the daily, with the four elements, then you can. You can go with four elements. Important, you must know the technique of a practice, the correct technique. Then you will not reach the wrong destination. Okay? So that's all for today. Okay. This is a good question for me because I have no children. That's why I don't have attachment. I don't understand why the parent attached so much to the children because I'm not a mother. But I always think like that. How I let go of my attachment to my mother. Only in this life, she is my mother. Yeah? In the round of rebirth, all of you have been my mother before. I have been your daughter, your son before. So only this life only. He is your son and daughter. You try your best to do your duty as a mother without mass attachment. Don't force them to do what you want. You know, we Asian teacher, Asian parents like to force our son and daughter follow what I say only. No, they come from their past life. You know, they come from a lot of their own tendency, their own inclination of the mind, their own talent. You want him to become a doctor, but his talent is not to become a doctor. You know, so you force him to do something which is not his talent. It's suffering for him also. So I think sometimes you also have to respect, respect their decision, their talent. You know, they come from your past life. This life only temporarily they become our children. So I always think like that, my parent is this life only, my parent. Next life, I may not be able to meet them. So why should I attach so much? Maybe you can think in this way. I don't know if it works for you or not. Okay, that's all.